Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
Here we are about to begin another legislative session in a few short weeks. Here in Pennsylvania. One staunch advocate for the Constitution, life, and family will not be returning, unfortunately. State Representative Daryl Metcalf from Butler County has chosen not to run for re-election. He has served the people of Pennsylvania since 1999, and he will be greatly missed by those fighting for the return of common sense. We ask him to come on to talk about some of the high points and low points of his career, as well as changes he has witnessed in Harrisburg and the Commonwealth. Thanks, Representative Metcalf, for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'll start with committees. You've served on numerous committees, and you were chair of several committees. And the one that stands out to me is when you were chairman of the House State Government Committee, because we could always depend on the efforts of the LGBTQ activist to go no further than your committee. We really appreciate that. So, of all the committees you've served on, when you like the best, something like that.
You know, I've been blessed to serve on a lot of committees. And as you said, I was chair of the House State Government Committee, majority chairman for 8 years. I'm currently chairman of the Environmental Resource and Energy Committee, and I'm finishing up 4 years as chairman of that committee. I was minority chairman of the Intergovernmental Affairs Committee while that still existed prior to being rolled into the State Government Committee when we came into the majority. Back in 2010, and at the end of the cycle there from the 6, 7, 8, 9, and in 2010 is when I became majority chairman of the State Government Committee. So just kind of thinking out loud here while I'm talking with you about the different years and which committee I was on prior to being chairman. You know, while I was a rank and file member, I was chairman for about, or excuse me, I was a committee member of the Education Committee for about 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And I served on the Labor Committee for a number of years, the Tourism Committee, the Finance Committee, the Local Government Committee. So there's been a lot of committees that I've served on over the years. Mm-hmm. Probably the Environmental Resource and Energy Committee work that we've been doing the last 4 years to try and advance energy development in Pennsylvania and trying to push back on the wolf.
Right, RGGI.
Yeah. The Reggie, the leftist attacks through the regulatory process on developing our energy resource. I mean, God has blessed Pennsylvania with such a wealth of natural resources that are here, whether it's our hardwood timber that we're, you know, a big player in that market in from the state of Pennsylvania, our businesses that operate in that part of the economic sector. Or it's our gas and oil development with the Marcellus Shale. And, you know, we've been, of course, up in your area there with the Drake Well up in the Titusville area.
Yep, about 17 miles from here, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've been known for our oil-rich land here in Pennsylvania, the Quaker State brand, of course, of oil. So,
Penn's oil.
You know, working as the Working as the ERE chairman has given me an opportunity to try and advance energy development here in Pennsylvania, which has been rewarding, and been blessed to have that opportunity for the last 4 years to work in that area of the economic policies that government fosters. So the State Government Committee chairman, I think I probably had more protesters while I was State Government Committee chairman than any other chairman in the history of the Pennsylvania House of Representatives.
Wow.
A lot of people arrested protesting me during that time for various reasons, but mainly because we wouldn't advance their leftist agenda through the State Government Committee. So it's been a blessing to be able to serve for these last 24 years and being involved in the political arena and in the battles that I've been on the ground fighting in the political arena for the last 25 years since I became a candidate back in 1998. Mm-hmm. It's been a blessing, and we've had a lot of great people out there like yourself and others that have been allies in the fight for liberty and the fight to advance truth in the political arena.
Yeah, like I said earlier, we could always depend on your vote. when it came to protecting life and marriage and conservative issues. We could always depend on your vote. And I just got to thinking as I was preparing for this, you know, when you ran for office, I was still just a stay-at-home mom. And things have definitely changed in my life since then. So, again, we are just very, very thankful that you were there, that God put you there for those 24 years, and that you were, that you stood by his values. And that is one thing that I've always admired of you. I can't remember exactly what the situation was, but a group of us went to the Capitol, and a couple of more mature women went with me. And we went to visit your office, and we had your picture, their picture taken with you. But they were impressed that you had a Bible on your desk, openly had a Bible on your desk in the state capitol. They still talk about that. And
as I'm talking to you from my capitol office, I still have a Bible that's mm-hmm. sitting here on my desk in the capitol. It's one of the last items that will be removed from my office as I leave. I'll be taking that with me, but. I thought it's important to ensure that people, especially people that are elected to office, understand that the laws that we make are subordinate to mm-hmm. God's law. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's the point that I made during my farewell remarks on the floor, which are available on video. We've archived them, and they're up on mm-hmm. Facebook. If anybody connects to my Facebook site, they can go in and watch my farewell remarks. And we are actually getting Metcalf Minute ready, my last one that will be sent out over email. And you should receive that one also, that we're going to send out a connection or a link to my farewell mm-hmm. remarks if it's not included in the actual email that we send out, so people can hear that. But one of the points that I made during my farewell remarks to my colleagues and to the citizens of Pennsylvania that were able to tune in and stream it was that, you know, as we do what we do in government, government exercises the authority that we have under the Constitution and fulfills the duties that we have under the Constitution. Those duties and that authority are subordinate to God's law and God's commands, and that those in government need to realize that they have to answer to God ultimately on Judgment Day, and that the supreme governor of the universe, God, is the one who is ultimately in control, and that we need to recognize that when we're passing laws here in the people's capital. And I think all citizens should recognize that they have a duty to be actively involved as American citizens, where the government is we the people, that we are going to be held accountable as we the people for what kind of government we've been either helping to advance or working to make sure that they do the right thing and protect life and protect the family values that so many of us are in the public arena, in the political arena to try and protect.
Yes, I was able to watch your farewell address actually just last night. You took a bold stand for Christ and for the Lord and for his values. And, you know, so much of what you said reflected on or just was what the founding fathers believed also, that we are under God's, his word and his laws.
Right.
And that's something that I don't believe a lot of legislators in either state level or federal level realize. Have you seen a change in the 24 years on, in just looking at that aspect, when you went into office in 1999 compared to right now, 2022, has there been a change in the way legislators view God or the stands that they take, biblical stands that they take? Has there been more secularism coming into the picture?
I think it's been a radical shift in our culture. You know, over the last 24 years that I've been here, when I first ran for office, I think the majority of people that served in the legislature would have voted to protect family values, would have mm-hmm. voted to protect marriage between a man and a woman. And because of the activism from the left and the LGBTQ just activism that you see out there, there's so many legislators that have maybe their own values don't line with the values of the left, but they've been intimidated into silence. Mm-hmm. And they won't stand up and fight like they should for the values that so many of our forefathers held that were part of the foundation of this nation and the truth that we see clearly in God's word. So many won't stand up for that in the political arena because they're fearful of being attacked for it. And that's, of course, a tactic that's been used for ages to try and silence people, is to attack those who speak the truth. I mean, it happened to many of God's prophets, as you saw prophets being directed by God to give out his various prophecies throughout the Old Testament. But I think it's important that those who are elected to office are people that want to stand up for truth and stand up for righteousness. And we don't see as much of that any longer in the majority of elected officials here in Harrisburg. But there are encouraging activities that have taken place here at the Capitol. When you see some of the members, like, you know, Representative Stephanie Borowitz is somebody who sits next to me on the floor, and I know she speaks loudly for Christ and others that that are here now. You know, Representative Kathy Rapp from up in Warren.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we have other members that are stepping forward and are speaking up to speak truth and to proclaim, you know, that they are also standing up for Christ and standing up for God's word. So we see Christians that are serving here in the Capitol. I think I'm not sure if there's more than there were before, but I know there's still are Christians that are serving here in the Capitol always. But there has definitely been an erosion of the political landscape when it comes to seeing elected officials in Harrisburg standing up for truth, as truth is recognized ultimately coming from God's word.
Absolutely. It seems like, again, it seems like at least that the left has become more, definitely more radical, but more vocal in their radical stance. And you said that you have the record of being the most protested chairman of the state government committee, but
I think I'm probably the most protested member of the legislature.
Oh, legislature in general, okay. But that's good.
Dozens of arrests were made here at the Capitol of people protesting me in the past. When I was state government committee chairman, we've had protesters. When I've been ERE chairman, also the Environmental Resource and Energy Committee. We had protesters coming in, you know, dressed up like Tinkerbell and unicorns and men in tin hats. And, you know, so you get all kinds of crazy leftist protesters that will protest somebody who's going to
take a stand,
truth, and stand up for what's right here at the Capitol. And I think that's, as I said, I think that's eroded some of the courage of some elected officials to actually speak up and stand up for truth. You know, at the same time as we're seeing more and more socialist type legislators get elected or leftist legislators win in certain elections in some of our urban areas, we still have a contingent of the legislature, especially in the Republican caucus, where we've seen conservative legislators, many of them professing to be Christians, that have been elected and are willing to stand up for what is right here at the Capitol.
So there's still a light. There are lights in the darkness in the state capitol.
As somebody who's leaving here and, you know, somebody who's leaving after 24 years of serving, and sometimes I would say things that others might not have said, or maybe there wasn't somebody that would stand up and say it at that time. I feel confident that when I leave, there will be some other legislators that will step into the gap to fill that gap that will be left by me leaving. I think there's other legislators that I've been recognizing throughout the last couple of years that I think will step up and fill that void that I might leave, that void will be, I think, probably filled and overfilled by some of the strong voices that I've been encouraged by that have come in to serve with me the last few years.
Well, that is definitely encouraging, because I thought when I first heard you were retiring, I thought, oh no, he can't leave, you know, because you're such, as I said earlier, you're such a dependable vote for what's right, for biblical values, and
I think sometimes some of your listeners, and something for them to recognize is when there is somebody who will speak up and stand up for what's right, sometimes others that might have stood up or might speak up might not, because they thought, well, that person took care of it. You know, they spoke up. They wrote the letter to the editor. They spoke up at the school board meeting. I didn't have to. They did it for me. And that's fine for those that we elect to do that. But we need more Americans to stand up for what's right, whether or not somebody else is doing it.
Yeah,
because because they should be encouraged and emboldened by their neighbor who might stand up and speak the truth at a school board meeting or at a county commissioner's meeting or at a state legislative hearing. They should stand beside that person, mm-hmm. stand shoulder to shoulder, and stand with them in the fight and speak up and become actively involved in participating to advance what is right in the political arena and not just allow somebody else to do it on their behalf. And I think when I leave, I think there are members that might have stood by and thought, well, you know, as long as, you know, Daryl Metcalf's there to say it, we don't have to. Mm. But when I leave, I think they will step into the void, and hopefully it'll be more than one or two of them, and they'll be shoulder to shoulder standing strong.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's very good news. That's encouraging news, as the fight will definitely continue in Pennsylvania. As you've been there 24 years, have you also seen a change in the voters or the constituents, your constituents, there in Butler County, in what they demand or in their involvement? Have they become more involved or less involved in contacting you and just overall involvement in the political arena? Have you seen a change in 24 years?
Yeah, from when I was elected back in 1998, and you know, most of our communications came through somebody walking into the office or calling the office or sending a letter.
Mm-hmm.
And that shifted, you know, over the last 24 years to mainly being electronic communications, either through social media or through emails that would directly come in. So that's really changed. The volume of communication has really increased because of the availability of, you know, email and, and the way that people communicate electronically, right, when they're holding their phone in their hand now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the different groups that get together, you know, along with mm-hmm. the American Family Association and, you know, other mm-hmm. other groups also, Second Amendment groups that can kind of activate their membership by alerting them to a bill that's being proposed or an amendment that's going to be voted on, and generate contacts from some of their members to legislators, that's certainly increased over the years. I think because it's increased to such a high volume, sometimes it might not be as effective as 24 years ago when somebody took the time to write a handwritten mm-hmm. letter to a legislator to share their concerns and to ask for a particular stand to be taken. So mm-hmm. I think that that pressing the flesh, you know, going in, seeing your legislator, shaking their hand, looking them in the eye and telling them that these are the values you want represented, I think that's still going to be much more effective for your listeners to be encouraged to do that as much as possible
mm-hmm.
and to make sure they're holding their elected officials accountable, not just at election time, but throughout the term of their service so that they know that somebody's watching, holding them accountable for what they're doing, and somebody's watching so they'll be apt to do what's right. More so than what's wrong if they know someone's watching.
Yeah, that's true, because too many times politicians do, I mean, you're not in this category, but politicians do whatever they want to do up until a few months before election day again, where they're running for re-election, and then they all of a sudden are the angels in the state capitol. And hoping voters forget or aren't following what happens throughout the rest of the time. And definitely when it comes to the internet, I mean, I couldn't keep up with all this going on in Harrisburg and around Pennsylvania without the availability of the internet and, you know, being able to check news stories and, you know, things coming out of Harrisburg and such as that. So definitely, yes, that's been a major difference. But that's good advice, though. It's really more important to visit call your legislator to let him or her know what you expect of him or her.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll make that a point to encourage.
A lot of the electronic communication that comes through form emails that are generated by groups, you know, you might get, you know, 10, 20, 100 of the same
message. Same thing. Yeah, I know.
We're
guilty of that.
Well, it has an impact because you see, well, there's this many people, but at the same time, it's the same message over and over. So how much did somebody really care if they didn't take time to send it up with a personal touch or make a personal phone call?
True.
Stop by somebody's office still goes a long way.
Yeah. So we should at least encourage them to tack on a personal message, you know, like we pre-write the response, because people are busy And people like that, but we should also encourage them to tack on a personal note of their feelings about a particular piece of legislation. So,
yeah.
Did you find it easier or which, this is probably a dumb question, but did you find it harder to serve under a Democratic or a Republican governor?
Well, I
probably would depend on which governor.
I remember when I first got elected and people making references at the time to the Republican governor and, you know, your boss or this or that. And I think some members actually get elected to the legislature and they think, well, it's my party's governor. So he's kind of the guy that we've got to follow and the guy that we need to follow his lead. And it's like, no, that's not true. You're elected to the legislative branch. You're a separate branch of government.
Exactly.
It's supposed to be a separation of powers. It's supposed to be a balance of power. Yeah. We need legislators that are going to lead, not be led by their party's governor. And I think that's a problem with the legislature overall in both Congress and here in the state capitol, is that many times many legislators are looking to be led by their governor, or willing to be led by their governor, their party's governor. You know, whether it was Governor Ridge, you know, I had conflict with Governor Ridge over his wanting to use tax dollars to fund sports stadiums.
Mm-hmm.
That was one of the first battles I was involved in here when I came to the Capitol. So I wasn't on his list of people that were working with him at the time on that issue, especially Governor Corbett wanted to increase the gas tax. You know, I was fighting him for months on his
tax. Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, Ed Rendell wanted to increase the personal income tax. I fought with Ed Rendell on increasing the personal income tax. Governor Wolf wanted to shut everybody up in their homes and shut down businesses during the pandemic. I was fighting with Wolf over that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whether Republican or Democrat, I fought on major issues with every governor, as I think legislators should. And when you can find something where you agree, you know, I was in agreement with Rendell on one particular policy related to the collection of taxes from local tax collectors to make things a little easier there. You know, Governor Corbett, he signed our Castle Doctrine bill that I worked on a lot with now Congressman Scott Perry was the prime sponsor of the Castle Doctrine. And Scott was in the Pennsylvania House at the time, and I'd worked with Scott in that and some of our Second Amendment groups that were out there. So, you know, I've worked with, you know, and Governor Wolf just signed a bill that I had passed recently. So, you know, whether they're Democrat or Republican, I've been able to find areas where I disagreed with them and fought them hard, and other areas where we might be able to find some agreement. Probably the areas of agreement are a lot fewer than the areas that I fought with all of the governors.
Right. Yeah, probably so. So one of the prerequisites for being or even considering running for either House or Senate or any elected official, the prerequisite should be to read the Constitution. To know that there's three to know that there's actually three, there's a separation of powers, there's three, you know, to know that there's that exists and that the governor is not your boss. That's excellent. Excellent advice for sure. So, you know, we wish you Godspeed and thank you so much for your service the past 24 years and for your service when you were in the Army. I know you were in the Army a couple of years. So we really, 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 I can't say really enough times, appreciate your stand for life, your stand and your fights for life and the family and for marriage. And just God bless you and Elke and your daughter, Lisa, and your grandkids and, you know, the whole family. Really bless them. Pray that God will bless you in your retirement, and I know that you will continue your fight for the family wherever God places you, and we are thankful for that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Diane. Yeah, I served 4 years active duty in the Army, 24 years in the Pennsylvania legislature, and now I'm praying where God wants me to serve next. So I appreciate your encouraging words. Thank you for all the work that you do, and I appreciate having been able to work with you over the years as much as we've worked together.
Yeah, I appreciate you too. And you take care then.
Thanks, Diane. Take care.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.